Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. Isaiah 27:3. The mind of a man or woman does not come down in a moment from purity and holiness to depravity, corruption, and crime. It takes time to transform the human to the divine, or to degrade those formed in the image of God to the brutal or the satanic. By beholding, we become changed. Though formed in the image of his Maker, man can so educate his mind that sin, which he once loathed, will become pleasant to him. As he ceases to watch and pray, he ceases to guard the citadel, the heart. Constant war against the carnal mind must be maintained, and we must be aided by the refining influence of the grace of God, which will attract the mind upward and habituate it to meditate upon pure and holy things. Character does not come by chance. It is not determined by one outburst of temper, one step in the wrong direction. It is the repetition of the act that causes it to become a habit and molds the character either for good or for evil. Right characters can be formed only by preserving untiring effort, by improving every entrusted talent and capability to the glory of God. God expects us to build characters in accordance with the pattern set before us. We are to lay brick by brick, adding grace to grace, finding our weak points and correcting them in accordance with his direction. God gives us strength, reasoning power, time, in order that we may build character on which he can place his stamp of approval. He desires each child of his to build a noble character by the doing of pure, noble deeds, that in the end he may present us a symmetrical statue, a fair temple, honored by man and God. He who would grow into a beautiful building for the Lord must cultivate every power of the being. It is only by the right use of the talents that the character can be developed harmoniously. Thus, we bring to the foundation that which is represented in the Word of God as silver, gold, precious stone materials that will stand the test of God's purifying fires.
Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we're most grateful and thankful that once again we are alive today. As we look around, Father, once again, more than ever before, we can see that your coming is even almost at the door. So help us, Father, to examine our lives and see if we're in the faith. Today we pray for those who may be listening, that as they listen to this program, that we all examine our lives to be sure that we're in the faith. Because, Father, when you should return, it will be too late for us to get ready for your returning, So, Father, today we ask for a double apostle, your Holy Spirit, guidance from your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who are listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments concerning our program today or any other program that we have had, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Now, most of you who are regular listeners of Turning Point know that we had a live call-in show last Monday night, and it was very interesting. So this afternoon, what we're going to be doing is kind of bringing some of the highlights of what we shared on last Monday night. If you didn't listen to the program, well, if you want to listen to our programs in the future, just keep a mind eye or keep checking into our website at www.tpministries.org, and that'll give you an indication or indicate to you when we'll be having our next live call-in show. And I think our next live call-in show will be on how to tell a false prophet, or who is a false prophet. So stay tuned for when we offer that particular program. Now, as you normal, Brother Paul will give us an update on those things that he has read in the papers this week that may be of some spiritual significance to us today. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Coming out of the newspaper this week is some sad statistics that were shared with us through our Minister of Youth, Brother Neville Wisdom, about our young people. And if you didn't have an opportunity to read those papers, that they came out on February 6th, all of our national papers in the Bahamas ran the story, one of them under the headline, National Youth Strategies Now Being Decided. Youth report troubling. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, surely if it's troubling as you read the statistics that are going on with our young people here in the Bahamas, and may I say even around the world. But you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1, the Bible told the young people to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And surely those evil days that were prophesied by the prophet are right before our eyes. You know, and I think some of the major factors is just because parents don't want to tell their children the truth, or God forbid, some parents don't even know what is the truth, based on our calling show last week, Monday night. I mean, there were two young men that shared some stuff that was mind-boggling, you know. And if these are adults speaking like this, imagine what our children are being taught in the schools and even in their homes. Today I call for the parents to study the Word of God as you have never before, and you know, do a roundtable discussion with your children with the Bible in your midst. And you know, if you can just buy yourself a cheap concordance, you'll be surprised, you know, some of the things that are happening in our land, the Bible point out in black and white. I mean, just look at the Bible pendant, that's just how it's being played. As a matter of fact, just put anything that you see troubling you, if you get yourself a good concordance, you can look up those words in your concordance and you can hear to see what the Bible has to say about those things. Anything, as a matter of fact, that is for our well-being and for our march, as we march on to glory, you can find in the Bible, because the Bible is quite clear that those things that are written are for us, and those things that are not written are not for us. So there's no excuse. The time has come to stop buying those books. I mean, in the school they did promote all these funny books. Why don't let's have a year of teaching children just to read the Bible, and let's see if there'll be a change within that year. Just one year. The only books they're going to read in that 1 year is the Bible. I mean, different from their science books and their maths books and stuff. Let the reading book for that year be, you're just going to let them read the Bible and see if that don't take a change in the mindset of most of our young people. If we don't cover all, I'm sure at least 50 to 70% of our young people would have a different outlook on life if you'll just let them read the Bible. So this is a charge today to the minister of youth and even to the school teachers. You can start just from your own individual class. Just let them read the Bible and you'll be surprised. Those who can't even read well, you'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit will help them to read the Word of God, because in the Word of God is life, and in the Word of God is direction from here, even unto glory.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Our program on last Monday night covered Once Save, Always Save. My first question to Brother Renrick and Brother Paul this afternoon is, what would you consider the highlight of the program on Monday night?
One of the highlights in the program for me, Brother Junior, is, like I said earlier, the two young men that called who were trying to say that, you know, we are out of order to teach in the nation that once you're saved, you don't always have to remain saved. At any time, you can just go back on, you know, whatever you want to go back. And if I remember correctly, one of the young men, he drew an illustration. He said, are you telling me, young man, if I should be driving down the street and I see a young lady and I decide to lust after, and for some reason I should die in the midst of that lusting, am I going to be lost? And I told him yes. Now, you know, he almost like he wanted to jump through the phone. He couldn't believe this. But Jesus talked about this in his day, about looking after women in a lustful way. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 30, he said, you have heard it said of them of times of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever should look on a woman and lust after her has committed adultery in his heart already. If thy right eye offend thee, said Jesus, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into the hell of fire. And then he said in verse 30, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. So Jesus sets the record clear, that if you find yourself lusting after a woman, or after a man, or whatever it is you might be lusting after, coveting someone else's stuff, it's better for you to take your eye out. Not really take it out, but move your eyes from that does not glorify the Father, and put your eye on him. Because surely the Bible is clear that great peace of those whose mind is stayed on thee. And can we truly say, if you are lusting after someone else's wife or someone else's daughter, and in a lustful way, imagining how you can go to bed with them, can you truly say your mind is on Christ? Think on these words.
You know, one of the highlights of the show for me, Brother Julian, was I think there were a few young men that actually called in and said that they weren't Christians, but they still realized that if they died in their sins, or if they accepted Christ and turned back, that they would be lost. And, you know, that could only be the Holy Spirit that would, you know, reveal those truths to them, that, you know, if we were to die in our sins, or if we were saved and we turned back to our sinful ways, that, You know, there's no way that we can still, you know, retain that salvation. And that was powerful for me, you know, knowing that people out there, that many people out there, you know, realize this biblical truth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go entreat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You know, and we have to strive to enter into that narrow gate, enter into that straight gate, that when our Lord and Savior does come, and he will come, that we will not be among those that are unworthy, but we will be among those that are called faithful servants.
Brother Paul, you mentioned about two brothers calling in and said we didn't say it right, or it wasn't said correctly. I want to piggyback over that, because on a number of call-in shows, that seems to be the problem or the concern, that people say that you're not saying it right. Even in the church, when you make comments about what you think is right, and so forth, people say, you're judging me. What would you like to say to those people who come with it? Don't judge me, or I'm not saying it right. What would you like to say to those people this afternoon?
Well, I'd like to say to Brother Julian and the authority of God, well, a lot of time, you know, even in all through the ministries of the prophets of old, and even the prophets that came after Christ died on the cross, the same thing was said of them. You know, a lot of time people, when they can't deal with the message, they begin to attack the messengers. But even, you know, even if the messengers should say it wrong, God is going to ask you one question: was it right? And he's not gonna bite his words. He's not gonna mince on him. He's gonna ask you, was the message right? Yes, the message might have came across in a harsh way. Yes, it might have came across in a way that did not sound right. But was it right? Did you examine it? Because I'm gonna deal with the messenger also if they came across in a way that was not pleasing in my eyesight. But them not coming across right in the hearing of your ears does not discredit the message. So that's what we need to pay attention to. And a lot of times, you know, people, when they call our call-in programs, you know, we've experienced that through the years, they begin to attack the message. When they can't deal with the message, they have an attitude that, you know, y'all attacking me. No, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, we open ourselves up to criticism all the time. If you're saying something that is not biblical, by all means, give us a call. As a matter of fact, that's one thing that I asked the young man. I actually interjected him as he was speaking, because I didn't want him to run after foreigners when he was finished making his point. After I see what he was saying was not really biblical. I mean, and the reason why I interject is because I wanted, if what he was saying was biblical and what people were saying were not biblical, I want him to give a text to back up his point. And at the end of the segment, he was not able to give a text to discredit what the Bible says, that if you should turn away from your righteousness, all of your righteousness will stand for naught in the end of day when Jesus returns.
One of the things that I like about our show with Paul and Brother Julian is that, you know, we don't sit here and discuss politics or how we feel or wishy-washy stuff where it could swing or swerve any other way, you know. You know, what we discuss is either right, based on the biblical standard, or it's wrong. And like Brother Paul said, if people, you know, just take the time and listen to what we have to say and evaluate it based on that biblical standard. You know, turn to the scriptures for yourself and see what we're saying and what we're presenting. Does it line up with God's word or does it not? If it doesn't, then by all means, you let us know and we will correct ourselves because we're open to correction. But, you know, if it lines up to God's word, and you know, then we need to take heed to it and examine our own lives to see whether or not we're living in accordance to the way that God wants us to live or not. And well, I think that's what all I have to say on that.
Well, what I'd like to say before we move on is, you know, Jesus made a very serious statement in the book of John, chapter 8, to the people in his day who said they were Christians. He said, "Why is it you don't understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words?" And then Jesus says this in verse 44 of John 8. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abhorred not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speak a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you can convict me, or say that I'm living in sin? If I say the truth, why is it you don't believe me? He that is of God, hear the God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And that's a powerful statement made there by Jesus. And he says, if you are of God, then follow God's words. If not, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do.
You know, just one other thing I'd like to throw in there is that, You know, sometimes there's human error. You know, there are occasions that Brother Paul and myself may talk a little fast, or, you know, sometimes you may be listening to something and your mind locks on to one point and the person continues to talk and, you know, you may miss whatever else that they have to say. But, you know, just like I said, I encourage all of our listeners just to take the time and listen and examine what we have to say. And, you know, don't judge it based on feelings, but evaluate it based on the scripture. Does it line up to what the Bible has to say? Does it agree with the Bible? Does it support the Holy Scriptures? Or is it in disagreement? If it's in disagreement, if we're saying something that's not biblical, then, you know, call us on it, brother, ladies and gentlemen. We invite you to.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, also, I'd like to tell you this time, our programs are on the air, not on the air, on the internet. Our past calling programs are on the internet. And I think the one that we aired on Monday would probably be on by the end of today. So if you check our website at www.tpministries.org, you can listen to it and see what it says. And again, if you have any questions or comments, you could email us at www.tpministries.org, where email address are there for Brother Paul, myself, Brother Miller, and Brother Renwick Bowe. Or you could call us at 322-6273. That's 322-673, and we will discuss it with you. We could come and sit at your church or at your home or wherever you want to do. Or even we'll make our homes available for you to come and sit down and discuss what you think we might have said in the wrong way or use some facts that are not really facts. We just like to open up ourselves because we believe that we all are on this journey together. I help you, you help me. You might be wrong somewhere, I might be wrong somewhere. That's the goal of Turning Point, yeah. To allow people to read the scriptures and to use the scriptures as our truth, as our factual resources. Okay? So that is what we're trying to do. Now, gentlemen, our topic was once saved, always saved. Did we come out of that discussion with any change of thought? Can you turn back? Or once you give your life to Christ, and even if you turn back, you are saved?
You can turn back, Brother Johannes. But see, God is not a taskmaster. He's not going to force any of us to do anything we want to do. That's what I love about God. If you want to go down the road to destruction, by all means, with tears in his eyes, weeping and crying and screaming, telling you not to go forward, he's going to let you go. And that's why Jesus says in his word in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, God, even so I send them also into the world. For their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that all may be one, that we all may be one, Father, as thou art me in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And that's a powerful statement there. Could it be the reason why the church is not as powerful as it should be in this part of the world is because we are not on one accord? We are just teaching so many different things. Then Jesus continued in verse 22, and the glory which you give me, I give them, that they may be one even as you are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. That they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's a strong statement made by Jesus. But how can this be when today the world is right now sweeping through the church? Just but everything you see going on in the world is just about taking place in the church. And because of this, the church is not as powerful as what it should be. Because in the days of the apostles, they were baptizing people. Thousands of people were being baptized in a day. Hundreds of people were being baptized joining the church in a day. There were even men who wanted to buy the gospel. And the apostle let them know, this, you cannot buy this. For whatever it is I have, I will give to you. Once you read the word, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way your life can be remain the same. If it does, it's not because the word is not true. It's because you don't want to walk in the truth.
You know, I'd just like to read a passage of scripture, and it's from Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 and 13. And Jesus here is talking about the events that would take place before he comes, you know, the signs of his coming. And he says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he goes on to say, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what does he mean by enduring to the end? He doesn't mean those that stockpile food during hard times, or those who build a bomb shelter and are able to, you know, survive a war, those are the ones that are going to be saved. No, he's talking about those that abide in him. You know, those who hold fast to him and remain faithful and true to him, those are the ones in the end that will be saved. If we turn back from this gospel, if we turn our backs on our Savior, then what hope do we have for salvation? The Bible is clear about that. And coming off of the call-in show on Monday, you know, there are no doubts in our mind that there's no biblical support for the once saved, always saved doctrine. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. If we turn our backs on Christ, and if we die in our sins, then what hope do we have?
As a matter of fact, to back it up, all the churches through history, from the beginning to now, had the same requirement to overcome. And you read this in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And each of those churches had some spiritual problem. And the Lord rebuked all those spiritual problems. And in the end of each of those churches, he said, "And he that overcome it, I shall not blot his name out of the book of life. He that overcome it shall not receive the second death." So it's filled with the overcoming. And what does Christ want us to overcome? Sin. Those three-letter words that has caused so much destruction in the world today. And that's Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And you read about the seven churches. And all seven of those churches had a problem. And the problem was they were dabbling in sin. And Jesus gave them the assurance, like he gave to us today, that if we overcome, we would have a right to the tree of life and enter into the gates, into the city.
But Paul, you said overcome sin. Now, we've met many people who we've asked the question, what is sin? Or what is the biblical definition of sin? Could you give to our listening audience this afternoon, what is the biblical definition of sin?
According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, if you go to the dictionary says, if you look up the word sin, it will tell you sin is transgression of a divine law, and rightly so, printed by the dictionary, because this divine law is the only law that was written by the finger of God on tables of stone. And Jeremiah tells us this law is now written on the tables of our heart. And like we told you once, and we're going to tell you again today, the law is only like a mirror in your house. It only reveals what the problem is. But you must go to the Savior to fix the problem. That's the good news. He doesn't leave it to ourselves. He empowers us to live the life that he lived when he walked among men.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. One of the things that I noticed on the show that night was that there seemed to be some people who were, they said they were not Christians. What advice would you have for those persons this afternoon who listening, who consider them non-Christians? What advice would you have to them on this topic of once saved, always saved, and the whole story of salvation?
Well, I mean, it comes down to one simple thing. And we just have to look at the headlines. Almost every day we turn to the newspaper, you know, there's some famous person that just abruptly passes away, you know? I mean, even this week we have an example of that. And that's telling us quite clearly and quite plainly that tomorrow is promised to no man. You know, what we oftentimes put off stuff around the house and say, okay, well, I'll knock that out tomorrow, or stuff around work and say, okay, you know, I'll just take that care of that another day. But we can't deal so flippantly with our souls. As a matter of fact, in the book of James, James chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 14, it says, I believe it is chapter 4, but I can't find it right now, but it says something to the effect that our life is just like a vapor. You know, tomorrow is promised to none of us. And when we have that realization and realizing that, you know, the Son of God came and died on the cross for our sins, and that we don't know whether or not we'll be here tomorrow, it is incumbent upon us to make it right while we have time today, that we should, you know, accept Jesus Christ into our heart, confess our sins, and from that point on, live a life that is biblical and that is pleasing to him.
A lot of our callers, a lot of our listeners, I should say, don't realize that we can die before our time. A lot of people say, whatever is going to be, is going to be. There's nothing that you really can do to reverse that. But no, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says that we surely can die before our time. And a lot of times, I think a lot of people, you know, will be relaxed in their lifestyles because sentence against an evil work is not dealt with swiftly. They believe they have a lot of time to dabble in their sins. But, you know, the Bible is quite clear. The time has come for us to do that which is right while the time is right. And that's why the Bible tells us things like, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the acceptable time. Now is the time, not tomorrow. And, you know, a lot of us, we are more busy than in politics than we are the politics of the Bible. You know, like Brother Randolph said earlier, just on last week, you know, Anna Nicole was in the Bahamas, and I was wondering, you know, as I thought about this, Lord, could we have contributed to this young lady's death? Because they said this is a Christian nation. But did we really greet her? Although, you know, she might have her differences. She might have, you know, came in the wrong way or whatever it might be. She might have broken some of the laws of the Bahamas. But did we really reach out to her as Christians, as a Christian nation? Did we? I mean, it just breaks my heart as I play this back through my mind. You know, everyone that called the talk show and through the news media was bombarding her left, right, and center. No one reached out to her and say, you know, can I help you, young lady? Is there anything I can do to welcome you into the Bahama lands? Yes, I mean, I'm not condoning whatever she did. I mean, I didn't even know what she did. Different from what is being swept around in the media. But, you know, today, the members of Turning Point Ministry would like to send condolences out to her family. And that we will pray for her daughter that is left and that the Lord will, you know, step in here. As a matter of fact, we have good news from the Bible that the Lord will be the father. And the mother, I should say, to the motherless, because she still has a father. But, you know, just like he said he'll be a father to the fatherless, our God is a big God, and he will be a mother to the motherless. So today we will pray on behalf of this young lady that as the Lord work on her behalf, that he would bring into a full knowledge of truth. Who knows? The Lord may could use her to turn the world upside down.
Well, we're coming to the end of our program this afternoon. And my last question, I guess, would be, we talk about once saved, always saved. But does the Bible give us the power to be saved and not to be able to turn back? Do we have that assurance in the scriptures, Brother Paul, Brother Renwick? That's the last question for today.
Yes, we do, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, Brother Renwick quoted this a few times on our program leading up to our calling show, where he quoted the text, if we are led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that if we are truly led by the Spirit, we will not be able to do the things that we love to do, which is sin. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, he said, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ's death, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead in the glory of the Father, even so you and I should walk in the newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Then he said, know ye not that the old man is crucified unto him, that the body of sin might be destroyed? Henceforth we should not serve sin, for we are dead and free from sin. And I say, amen and amen.
Jesus, before he left, he gave us a promise, and he said that when he leaves, he would not leave us alone, but he would send a comforter, you know, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he's not just a comforter, but he is there to give us, to lead us into truth and give us power to overcome all of these temptations and things that so easily beset us. So that there is definitely hope, even for us who live in the last day. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to speak to the nation, Lord, but not of our own words, but through your word. And we ask that as the word goes forth, that it will draw men to you and people would repent and come into a full knowledge of you. In all things, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Once again, this program continues to be a blessing to you. Tell a brother or sister or friend that every Sunday we are right here at 2 o'clock on ZNS 1540. If you care to reach us, our telephone number is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Renwick Pope.
This is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.